Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, Judd Crockett and Steve Fizz.
G'day everybody and welcome to episode 12 of the Draft Doctors. My name's John Crockett and joining me is each week, Stevie Fizz. Steve, welcome mate.
How you doing, John?
Pretty good mate. It was a big week in NAB 2 of the NAB Challenge, or round 2 of the NAB Challenge, whatever they call it these days. Bit of news coming out this week with no Passiona Matthew Jentsch retiring.
Yeah, that was
it was out of the blue.
Out of the blue, didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah.
And another defender bites the dust for us in Fantasyland.
Which also helps some of those Crows, as in Curtly Hampton, up the leadership board.
Yeah, it does, because I also watch Paul Seisman play, so that helps Curtly Hampton as well.
Oh, no good?
No, not really.
A bit of late last week, we found out David Swallow looks set to miss the first month of the season proper, going back into, was it a bit of a clean-up in the knee, or...
Yeah.
Just wasn't going too well in rehab.
Yeah, it was the knee area. The knife will be out again.
So he basically just wiped him off the board.
It's not good, man. I was really thought he might be a draft value this year, and like even with the injury, but...
Yeah, you could have got him late and...
Now I'm just like, well, God, maybe pick 22?
If that.
Yeah.
Someone will pick him up for sure. Also, more bad news, Beams looks set to miss the rest of the NAB Cup. He wants to get himself cherry ripe for the season proper, which is good and bad because we don't see what role he's going to play, and we want to see him play because he's important.
Yeah, we know Beams generally plays in front of the ball. He's so good at such a good goal-kicking midfielder and delivering the ball, but you know, we've seen players in the last couple of years like Ablett, really, and Murphy, I guess, this year with the shoulder reconstruction, they don't seem to fully, I don't know, want to trust it.
Yeah, so. Well, it's very important, probably the second most important part of the body behind your legs in football, so they want to get it right.
Yeah.
And for Solo, just right in the cup there. Not a good look.
Well, yeah.
Storming a P-cup? I don't know. What do you reckon?
Well, that's surprising. Well, see, he's Italian, so he had to, the name's Italian, so he had to get the big beach towel.
Yeah,
couldn't use a little hand towel like one of the Irish boys. Whoa.
Bazinga. And it looks like the Swans have ripped up their contract for ANZ Stadium and playing all their home games at the SCG.
Which is Jared Ruffhead's back. Thanks you.
Hey, yeah. Oh, that ground is horrible to get to and looks horrible to play onto. So
unfortunately, it takes away a win from Collingwood.
Yeah, because they're unbeatable there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see how they go in round one. What have we got on the social media there, Steve?
We know we're running our team name comp. We love the team names. We think it's a big part of the fun of the fantasy football. We had a couple entries this week. We had from @BombersFlyUp on Twitter, the Saturday Beers.
Saturday Beers.
I don't mind it. Everyone loves a beer and a Saturday. Anything with alcohol's got to be a good name.
I had a few beers at the Hawthorn Richmond game on the weekend.
Yeah, how was that? How was it down there?
Yeah, really good crowd. Very very happy crowd. Just everyone just looking to see how their team play and hopefully no injuries, which, barring Jack Fitzpatrick, went well.
Yeah. And the other entry from @KLUPlastic, Will I Hams.
Love it.
I like it.
Will I Hams.
And he had a caveat. He wanted to use just the Tipungwudi, which I love because I'm a big fan of Archer and the Just the Tip. I think that's funny. But he's in his work league and didn't want go a bit too risque. So yeah. Will I Hams. I like that. I think that's Will funny.
And there's a couple of good names there I see popping up in our list on our league as well.
Yeah, there was some real...
That was a good one.
I didn't mind that one. Yeah, and we also had a review, which we love, on iTunes.
Excellent.
From our man Shaki Chan. Shaki Chan gives this podcast 2 thumbs up.
Excellent. So thank you. Thank you, Jake.
We really appreciate that. So if you want to help out the show in any way, leave a review or subscribe on iTunes. It's very helpful to us.
All right. We are going to just have a quick chat about...
Let's get into these games.
Get into the games. Oh, but before we do, just if you want to follow us on social media, head over to Twitter. We are @TheDraftDoctors there.
Very active.
Very active. Steve loves it. I don't know if he even works anymore, but... Also, if you want to follow us on Facebook, head over there, www.facebook.com/thedraftdoctors. Hit the like button. We're always on there, happy to answer any questions you might have, or send us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. All right. The NAB Challenge Round 2 started off on Thursday night.
God, this is going to be painful, listeners.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's coming.
It's the GWS versus the new flag favourites, the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the Bulldogs played a bit of a nothing team. A lot of the GWS stars missing on that Thursday night game. Probably should have been a bigger margin had the Bulldogs kick straight. But a lot to like. Not so much from the GWS. There's a couple of standouts and not so much standouts, but the Western Bulldogs. Kobe Stevens, back from that injury last year, just dominated. 87% time on ground with 29 possessions, 12 of those contested, 5 marks, 3 tackles, and kicked a goal as well. He was everywhere.
Yeah, it's a good good game for Kobe Stevens. We know he had the forward eligibility last year, so he's lost that.
Yep.
But, you know, he's still a relevant late-round guy, I think.
Yeah. So, only question is, don't know if he'll get all that when Libba comes back in. Might take a small hit, but probably not too much, you would think.
I think he'll be there because he's a good size. He can go forward. You know, I think it hurts the other guys behind him, the sort of...
Your Rovat sort of guys.
Yeah, well, even maybe Lachie Hunter to a degree.
He was awesome.
But, yeah, maybe Rovats and... And,
I think it's more those guys. I think
Dale and
yeah, those guys. Because watching Hunter and he's a late running. He plays.
He's a gun. I'm not. That wasn't me throwing shade at all.
No. But he 90% time on ground. He's got the elite running now. He's got a tank. He was just up and down the wing. 25 possessions, 4 marks, 2 tackles. Just he's got the skills. Looked really good in my opinion.
Hunter. Yeah. He's. Yeah, he's probably not on my board at this stage, unless...
Very
like,
late
for it's just the thing is, like, he's... I've got guys like Kobe Stevens in front of him for those real late-round bench spots, yep. So there's only so many of those guys you can take, and I just... You know, it's for me, it's Stevens. Hunter's fine. He's good. If there's an injury, he's going to be worth $1 million.
Oh, absolutely. Got to mention him. Jakey Stringer had it on a string. 3 goals, 4. Play a little bit in the middle. Looked a little bit lost for me, but still really good. 17 possessions, 6 marks. Without Tom Boyd and Redpath there, he was a central focus, and he looked good.
Yeah, he's fine. He's a good player. He's just... I just don't think he scores well enough. If he's such a gun, it feels like he should score more, but...
Just remember, it's only his third year in football as well. Fourth year. So, give the kid a little bit of break.
No, he's fine. He's fine. He's going to be drafted.
Oh, for sure.
But I'd prefer him as a forward five to a forward four. I think that's where he'll probably end up going.
I think he will go. Some people might even get him as a 4-3, but way too early.
Yeah.
I
thought the other guy to mention was your man, Jason Johannesson.
Yeah, he was next cab off the rank. Oh, man, he looked good off that half back on the wing. Just... The pace to burn, running bounces.
A gun.
And it also, what it did is hurt. I don't know if you got it there, but Easton Wood, just non-existent. Well,
you and I have both said it. He's a guy who's really down on our list this year.
Yeah.
We're both in agreement, and on my downs, I've got Easton Wood. And
yeah, that was big. And it just looked like Johannesson's got that pace to burn off the halfback line. Yeah. Hey, Wood's still a good player with those intercept marks and whatnot. But
he's going to rely on those intercept marks to get his scoring. And for me... It's such a volatile thing.
Yeah.
Another guy I actually thought I'd have to eat my hat a little bit is Matt Suckling.
Yeah. He
didn't blow me away, but he was better than I thought he would be.
Very much so. He was good just kicking that into that forward line, just that silky left foot of his. I thought he was solid, but...
One guy who didn't get in on joining the party.
Jack McRae?
Bont.
Yeah, and Bond as well.
Copped a bit of a tag from the new man, Hopper.
Yeah, I saw that. Did pretty well there, the young Hopper.
So Bond's certainly going to come under a fair bit of attention this year, Jono. How confident do you feel drafting him as, say, around that low mid 2, mid 3 rank? Which is where he's going to go.
Oh, yeah, but not at all. I don't know if he will get the... I'm pretty sure he will get the tag, him or Libba, but you can't tag Libba. He's just a... clearance player. But yeah, he certainly struggled a bit there, the old Bond. And same with Jack McRae, running around the half back line.
I'll give Jack McRae a pass.
Yeah, it didn't suit him. I think they're just trying him out in a new position, but it didn't suit him. So get him back out in the wing.
Pickin.
Did he play?
Yeah, he played and just down. He's just lower in the midfield rotation.
Yeah,
He's going to be on the wing. He's going to be back
defensive
line.
Forward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All those bad roles.
But McRae, there was a story come out early in the week that he's looking to play that inside mid as well, but could boost him. Wait and see. Moving on to the GWS again. Not much to talk about here for me. Reece Palmer was hitting targets. Did they drug test him after the game? Because seriously, he was hitting targets. 80% efficiency, time on ground, thought he was good.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about GWS. To me, they just took in an absolutely piss-poor lineup. There was really no one relevant for me.
There was Coniglio, and he was probably the best player, but he was crap.
Yeah.
He was crap. 13 possessions, 2 marks, and 4 tackles.
I'm just giving GWS a total pass on this one, which is strange.
And it was their first match. I thought they might have gone a little bit stronger, but I don't know. Have to wait and see when they play next week against Sydney.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyone else you want to talk about there?
Bob Murphy barely played.
Yeah.
One thing, yeah, Dogs smashed him in contested ball, so...
Yeah. Can't take too much to...
I take nothing away from GWS's performance.
And the Doggies play Melbourne this week as well, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
Friday night game, we had the Cats v Pies in the big shootout there at Simmons Stadium.
Which is one of the best. I was sitting there watching it going, if this was a regular season match, I'd be impressed. It was a great game.
Friday night game, okay. I didn't see too much of it, to be honest. I was not too well. But when I had a look back, Duncan seemed really good.
Yeah, I watched it go to woe, and it was a fantastic match. Yeah, Mitch Duncan was fine. It's really funny to me. All the mail is Dangerfield, Dangerfield, Dangerfield. To me, the whole game was still side bottom. He just crushed.
He did crush.
Well, you know, Jono, I've been big on him all preseason.
I haven't, no.
I have.
Yeah, yep.
I really think the new rule is going to help him, the interchange cap.
Yep.
He just destroyed. He was everywhere.
All his time on ground, you know?
I don't know, but he had 28 possessions, 15 contested, 8 clearances, kicked a goal. I don't have his time on ground written down, but he was just a machine. It would have been up there.
It would have been up there, yeah.
Dangerfield was great, though, as well.
Yep. Your boy, Zach Smith.
I don't understand this. This is one thing I don't understand. I'm like, why is everyone going Zach Smith, Zach Smith? He got destroyed in the hitouts. The only time he won the hitouts.
15 hitouts.
Yeah, he had 15. The only time he won them when it was in the center square. Around the ground, Jared Witts had 32.
Wow. And Mason Cox was beating him, too, wasn't he?
No, Mason Cox was playing as a forward, and he was just beating Harry Taylor and Lockie Anderson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good for you, Zach. Like, I'm sitting there going, wait, why is... Like, Zach Smith, fine. If you're playing salary cap, I have an interest because he'll probably make money. But I'm just like, he just got crushed around the ground. Like, did anyone watch this? The Collingwood Rucks killed him.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't see too much of it. And especially with that output when you still had Vardy, Stanley and Blickhavs, whatever his name
is,
playing.
He did nothing. He was...
Well, he only played 36%.
Yeah, he barely played. Yeah. Barely played.
But
to me, the stories were Duncan. He played very well.
Does he get a hit when Selwood's back?
I think he gets a boost.
Boost.
Because, you know, he's a quick dude. He'll get the... You know, they'll feed him in the
they'll
ball.
They'll feed him and get... Yeah.
Dan Menzel?
Yeah, he looks solid.
Dan Menzel played pretty well. He could be a real low-end forward option.
Okay.
Probably more for your Supercoach draft.
What about Caddy and Guthrie? Any word on them?
Did Caddy play?
I don't know. That's what I was asking, because I didn't see too much of
him. I don't have them written down. They're not on my notes.
Yep.
So you're kind of making me look bad. Blair and Fasolo played well, but I don't really have too much interest.
Fasolo, I think, was with Cloak and the rest of that forward
line. The other guy who comes under some note is Jordan Ngoi.
Yeah.
He was really everywhere, starting in the centre square more than any other pie.
Yep.
Played pretty well. We know he's a forward option.
Yep.
So him and Menzel probably in the same basket. I'm not sure Ngoi gets all that time. Like, Taylor Adams barely played.
Yeah.
Scott Pendlebury didn't play. Trelaw didn't play.
Swanee looked Swanee like he was out there for a job.
Swanee was in forward. He was mid. He was... But the thing was, like, I'm just not... Like, Ngoi will be in the midfield rotation, but how much of
that
the time... He, yeah, how much of the time he's there when those three star midfielders come back.
And then you got Treloar.
Well, I said Treloar, Pendlebury. Possibly. Well, Aish was sort of nowhere. He really didn't have a great game.
Yep.
The guys who sucked. There was three of them for Geelong.
And they are...
The fat man.
Oh, the Motlop.
He was crap.
Chasing that donut truck, was he?
He's... I don't know what his carb loading situation is, but he was poor.
I saw a little bit of that on social media, though. Potting the big guy.
Harry Taylor. Man, remember when Harry Taylor was a fantasy stud?
Yep.
No marks. He looked bad last year.
Yeah.
And this year, it looks like more of the same.
Not easing into the season, you don't think? Or just look
bad? I don't know. He just can't find the ball. He's not beating his opponents. Mm. And the other guy who really didn't play well was Mackie.
Very interesting.
So a
couple of the older guys there as well.
Yeah, they really just didn't look very good. I was really shocked about Motlop. He really looked poor to me.
Yep.
Dangerfield and Duncan Menzel were the standouts for Geelong for mine.
Yeah.
I'm not drafting Zach Smith based on that.
No. And they can't remember who they play next. Who their next game is?
It's against the Bombers up in Shepparton.
Ugh.
It's this week.
Okay.
So we'll look at that game.
Yeah. Moving on to the early Saturday Arvo game. We've got the Power v Melbourne. Now, I caught most of this game. I thought it was actually... It was a game of two halves, but that was because the Power goes, no, we're going to cap our rotations and we're going to run our players into the ground. So take this game with a grain of salt. Port Adelaide, Sam Gray... looked brilliant again. Only had the 19 possessions, but...
Only played 64%.
Exactly right. So, but he was looking supremo again. Yep. Travis Boak, as much as I hate the guy...
He's a good player. He's another guy that this midfield rotations could help.
Yeah.
Because he's an elite runner.
Yeah.
And he's still a big body.
He only plays 75% for his 22 possessions, 3 marks and 5 tackles. But his disposal efficiency was 59%. And that was for about 120 Supercoach points or something.
Yeah, he's not really a sexy name, but I feel like he's going to be a value on your draft.
Yeah, he's going to be an interesting pick to see where he actually falls. For me, he's a fifth midfielder, but he probably can go a fourth.
Well, I have him as a high mid three right now.
Yeah.
But I'm a lot higher on him than you am because he's just very consistent. He doesn't miss.
No, that's right.
I love that.
That was pretty much it for the Port Adelaide guys that I liked.
Pittard? Jasper Pittard played all right.
Yeah, but I've never been a big fan of him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I think he's a good player. I love his disposal.
Yep. Interesting one was Matthew Lobe. Everyone was raving about him. In that first quarter, he was good. And then Max Gawn decided to start playing football.
Man, Max Gawn.
He is shooting up the rankings boards, I think.
He's shooting up we put the poll out on Twitter today, or last night, whatever last it was. Who's shooting up your boards the most? And it was a pretty resounding Max Gawn.
42 hitouts, 15 possessions, 3 marks, 2 tackles, 70% time on ground.
Oh, I know.
Whoa. He is a beast. He's ready to play, like...
Yeah, Matt Lobe came out of a lot of salary cap teams on the weekend.
Especially mine, he was first out. he looked out of his depth there, Lobe, I think. Jack Viney. Hey!
Roosie!
Hey, mate, he can play football. Look at that. 28 possessions, 16 contested, 10 clearances, 4 tackles. Guess what? 73% time on ground. Hey, Roosie, stop making him tag, you dick.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen now.
You
played a good game. Back to tagging.
That's your reward.
Yeah.
Now, it looked like Dom Tyson was doing the tagging job.
Yeah, well, this makes sense because Dom Tyson can't kick a ball where he intends to.
Yeah.
So.
The news, Brayshaw, first contest, bang, driven into the ground where he hit the knee and it looks like a minor medial strain. So hopefully he's going to be right for round one, but he was on my watch list.
He just came off it.
Oh, he's all right, is he?
No, off your watch list.
Oh, yeah, he's off my watch list. And the other one who disappointed me for me was Christian Salem.
Yeah, I've still got him on the watch list.
He's on the watch list, but didn't do too much. 14 possessions, 78% game time, just plodding around, really. Who have you got there, Steve?
Still have Aaron Vandenberg. He was a guy I threw into my late picks of my forwards.
Yep.
Of the forward rankings. He did nothing to suggest he won't be in the game. I think Brayshaw's injury turns out to be anything more,
that helps him.
That helps Vandenberg.
Yeah. He was solid.
Yeah, he's a solid player. There's no doubt about it. Ben Ken was okay. Ben Kennedy.
Yeah,
he was right. Okay. I think he's a bit vanilla. I'm not a big fan, but I know a lot of people will be on him for salary cap.
Yep.
Ollie Wines. Ish.
Big time. With that awful, awful haircut. Did you see it?
No.
He's got the mohawk.
Oh, God.
Yeah, horrible.
Hey, a lot of people are really big on Ollie Wines. I don't know. I'm probably not as convinced as other people.
Yeah, I watch him and
I still have him in that low end mid two, high mid. I think he's high mid three, but
I forgot him as a mid four, three on that borderline.
So. He's he's a good player, no doubt. Only played 2/3 of the match. But you know, you like to see a bit more out of that from your high end picks. I think he's going to go as a mid two in most drafts.
Oh, I hope not.
I think he will. And Pollock still just sucks.
Yeah.
And if you pick him, quit.
Well, I thought Dean Kent, like, I'm not going to pick him, but Dean Kent, he was pretty solid too. He kicked a few goals, but nope, not for me. Oh, Jeffy Garlett. He was everywhere. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He can go late, but...
Oh, just no interest.
No interest?
No.
Yeah, he's good to watch.
Yeah, he's good to watch. Yeah. Great play. Awesome to watch. But,
Anyone else?
No, that's it.
No, that's
Let's go to the game you were attending.
The game I attended, yes, the Tigers versus the Box Hill Hawks. A pretty inexperienced midfield group there, the Hawks put up, as even in forward line. Like, I think.
Well, there was no Gunston. There's obviously no Ruffy. There's no Bruce.
It was horrible to watch. Yeah. I think Shields was their best forward, and he played in the guts for most of it.
I like Shields, man.
He was quiet, but I liked the look of him. He laid 9 tackles.
That's his game. Yeah. He's a tackling monster.
Feast day fit.
That's the question.
Yeah. But he ran most of the game, played 77%. He was running all day. He was good, I thought. Sean Burgoyne, for an old man, he played well.
He's a good player, man. He's a classy player.
He was clean. Put it that way. He was very clean with his possessions. So, really good one to watch out. One that people will be listening for, Grant Birchall. Zooey? He stunk. Very quiet, barely saw him. I don't know if he was just out there having a run around Beaconsfield for the Arvo, but yeah, no good for me. Who have you got there for the Hawks, Steve?
Well, just Shields, but also my boy Jure, you know, I've been tracking his preseason.
Didn't have a good game.
Eight tackles. He actually scored pretty well, believe it or not.
Okay.
70 and 88,
yep.
Which, not horrible in a 90-point loss.
No.
Or 70-point loss, sorry. So, again, he's still in the watch list. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, same with the guy who I'm still watching, Pete Townsend's cousin.
Who?
Boom. Townsend with... He laid 10 tackles. It looks like he's going to be Trent Cotchin's protector in the middle. So he's just going to be running defence for him. Laying 10 tackles, 30 possessions.
Trent Cotchin doesn't need protection. His hair needs protection.
Yeah.
That hair is fantastic.
Well, you just use that chin of his, that bum chin. Just... Yeah, still like Townsend, the look of him. He's still on my watch list. Just laying those tackles. I like the guys who lay the tackles. Cause...
Round 22, though.
Townsend. I'm going to get him cheap. J-Roo, he looked really good. 6 marks in the first quarter. Just very unselfish. Pushed up the ground a lot. Probably running just past the center square. Just ran all day. Really good, I thought.
Yeah.
Basher. Man, this guy...
Basher's a gun. He's a defender one. We know that.
Oh, yeah. But it looked like he's taking his game to a new level. He had the tank. He played 85%. Just running everywhere. 7 marks. Couple of tackles. A lot of score involvement in the chains. Really good pick, I think. But the number one for me...
Well, he's going to be someone's first defender.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
He's certainly top 5, and he's just proven that on Saturday.
Hmm.
Also, Anthony Miles. He's shooting up my board a little bit.
Yeah, he's an interesting cat. I think I've got him around the D 4-5.
Oh, I could see him going 3-4 now.
No, you're talking. Then you start talking about taking him over guys like Prestia.
Yeah, but he hasn't been doing much.
But which, just saying that's the range you're getting into if you start looking.
But if he's putting these numbers out, then yeah, I am going to put him over Prestia, considering Miles is injury free and Prestia isn't.
I don't think you'll need to. I think with just the name Anthony Miles, it's not really a big, flashy, sexy big name
sort of name.
Well, you know, but he's got all the potential in the world to be better than these guys.
Oh yeah, big time. He showed that on the weekend. 26 possessions, 11 of those contested, 9 tackles and 7 marks. So
if he was a mid four, I'd be really happy with that.
Oh, big time.
But I don't think I'd feel comfortable if he was a mid three.
Maybe on setup on your team.
It depends where I've gone, but
yeah. But no, other than that, I don't think I've...
Brandon Ellis. Well, they all killed it. I mean, Ellis, 29 touches. Rance killed it. Martin killed it. Cochin killed it. Edwards killed it.
Cochin was nowhere in that first quarter. He had to work hard to get into that game. Rance was solid. Martin was playing a little bit defense, which is a bit interesting. Spent probably 5-10 minutes down there. Edwards, well, when you win by 70 points, you're going to kick 4 goals. Ben Lennon, he snagged 3. He was solid. Without being great, so he's one to watch out for there on your list, but you're definitely going to get him as a bench player.
Yeah, I'm not interested at all, to be honest.
No,
not even as a flyer. The downward arrow for me, I had Birchall. Yeah,
yep.
Big Ivan.
Yeah,
we've talked about it all preseason.
He can't jump. No, I was watching. He can't jump.
And Vlosten. I actually had Vlosten on my eye at the start, but he's just gone.
You know my hatred for Vlosten.
Yeah, I do.
I was on the boundary line. He's probably 5 metres away. I had a full can of beer in my hand. I'm like, I could throw this at him. But that means I'm going to waste a beer.
How much was the beer?
$6 for a can. Jail time. I don't know. No.
But he's just gone. I thought, you know, there was a good chance he'd get into the middle. It looks like that's gone.
No, I think with Townsend coming in there.
Yeah.
He's going to be there.
Just a low time on grounds. Reece Conker, I've been watching a little bit. I don't mind him too much. Low time on ground, though.
Maybe just nursing him because he's that injury prone, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, he's coming back. He played all right in the first one.
Yep.
Big boy McAvoy didn't play much, and Cyril didn't play much.
Well, he got a...
allegedly nothing.
A cop knocked to the calf.
Yeah,
That's what the story was, but I saw... But his cousin, Daniel Rioli, looked pretty good, actually, for the Tiger fans out there. Do we have to talk about these next two games?
I want to talk about Freo Adelaide.
The Sunday games. We've got the Bombers versus the Baby Blues.
Just get through it, man. Through it.
Right.
It's like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off.
Rip it right off. Basically, the Blues didn't play any of their A-grade midfielders, so they sucked.
Yeah.
Nick Graham impressed again. I don't think his possession's going to sustain once...
I think they will.
You think?
I really do. I really believe... I'm really looking at Nick Graham as a bench option.
Yeah.
I think he's fine. I think he's fine.
I just want to see it when, probably, I think they got the week off, so when the A squad gets in, just to see what he's
got. He did it last year in games. He did hit 3 tons in a row.
Okay.
In Supercoach, he only got one of those as a dream team ton, but he's a possession magnet. I'm all for it. All for it.
And
9 clearances.
Impressive.
Mm.
And old man Simpson was just soaking up the sunshine, I think. 50% game time.
Yep.
7 possessions and...
Sam Doherty joined him.
Yeah.
43% game time. Ooh,
yeah, I was out for this game, so I didn't see too much. Zaharakis looks like he's going to be the one leading that midfield this year with all the bands. Very well, 28 possessions, 6 marks, 3 tackles. And looks like Zaharakis is going to be feeding it to Goddard because he's... got all the cheap possessions, like he normally does.
We know he does. That's his game. That's
but they had a win, too. So we didn't see him lose it.
3 goals, too.
Was it 3 goals? Well, I must have missed that. And Bird, a lot of forward pressure there with 9 tackles, 14 possessions. So I think you had him on your board, didn't you?
Who? Bird.
Bird.
Oh, yeah, pretty low.
Yeah.
If anything. I think he was only on my dream team board, to be honest. I don't think I got him as super coach board.
Yeah, he was low, that 38-40.
Yeah, range. Something like that.
Yeah.
There was a good forward for Essendon, though, that I'm pretty high on.
Danaher.
Zach.
Merritt.
Zach Merritt. Yeah. Oof. 24 disposals in 61% game time.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, we love Zach. I'm a big fan. Very happy getting him as a forward too.
Yeah.
So
I think that's what we bumped him up to, didn't we?
Yeah, he's in the forward two conversation.
Yep, for sure.
McWhittering took 6 intercept marks.
Yeah, for the salary cap players out there.
Yeah.
That's all I heard about Wiedering.
Or anyone playing a dynasty draft. You know, if you need a defender, that's something to consider as well. Later on, probably not in front of your midfielders, but...
No. Yeah. And Liam Jones stinks again.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to get to the down arrows.
Oh, okay.
One handball in 78% game time.
That's worse than Jenna last week.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
He's getting $450,000 a year for the next 2 years. And they're upset about Daisy's money. Christ almighty, Carlton.
Andreas Everett, disappointing, man. 2 in a row, really bad.
Yeah, he's...
He flashes.
He's a flash, yeah.
Jed Lamb also is terrible. We knew this.
Yeah.
Also, you know, a guy who flashed was Zach Tui. He had a massive super coach, and he does this.
He does.
And he can put it together for a month as well.
Yeah.
So
you just got to find that month where he's good, pick him up, get rid of him.
Yeah. Yep. Or trade him if you can package him up.
Oh, yeah.
And fleece someone.
There will be some suckers out there who are average slaves and will just go for it.
Yeah, but no Cruz, Gibbs, Murphy, or Cripps for the Blues. Low time on ground for Doherty, Simpsons. The queue was in the rack before they even got there.
Yeah. And they also ran out of bottled water and souvlakis.
No servers.
They ran out. They sold out.
Oh, my God.
You've got 20,000 people in Carlton, people, and they ran out of souvlaki.
Yeah, they have 20,000 people there.
18,000, 19,000.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure. I will
tip my hat to you supporters who got to that.
Yeah. And there was, so ran out of souvlaki and bottled water.
I do love a server, so I'm...
But for $12?
Yeah, it's a server. No, oh, they're $10 down the street.
Not the one I had. It was just lamb, bread, lettuce, a little bit of tomato and garlic sauce.
Yeah.
But tastes good.
That's all right.
The last game, we had Freo v. the Crows.
Freo snuck in.
Yes, due to bad kicking again from the Crows. Is it Tom Sheridan or Tim Sheridan?
Tommy Sheridan.
Tommy Sheridan. Backed up again. 28 possessions, 3 marks, 2 tackles. Impressive. Shooting up some boards, I would say.
Yeah, I think he is. He's been on our radar the whole way.
Pretty much.
He was on my radar last year. I remember Ross Lyon talking him up extensively at the start of last year. He played him all year. And it looks like he's just gone to
another level.
Hopefully gone to another level, because it feels like he's going to be a really good defensive value in a really slim position.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the other spectrum, Garrick Ibbotson, he came back down to earth.
Yeah, and I tell you why, because Michael Johnson's a superstar, and
he was back, was he?
Yeah, and they got the ball in his hands every single time they could.
Ah, okay.
I love Michael Johnson. I think he's such a star.
Until he gets injured again.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
And that's when Ibbotson goes up.
Yeah.
Fifey.
Fife killed it.
He looked very good.
Barlow played well in limited game time. 68%.
Okay, awesome.
9 tackles.
So definitely a top 3 pick now, you would imagine. Being that
top 3 forwards.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take him around that. If I'm on the turn... In those turn positions, I'll probably be taking him in those turn positions, I would imagine. Especially if Dusty goes early. If you're playing Ultimate as well, I got no reason not to take Goddard number 2 overall.
Wow, be cool.
Well, you mean, you think about it, and of all the defenders who, like, you in the Dream Team format.
Oh, yeah, he was a defender.
He's a defender in that. Can you name another defender? He could be 500 points clear of the next defender.
Easily.
He'll average 100, like he always does. Yep. He doesn't miss games often.
Unless he loses
exactly.
Belts his own players.
Which is possible. But all the other defenders below him, they all have massive question marks, like Matty Boyd, question marks. Jared McVeigh, question marks. Heath Shaw, well, he's not really a great Dream Team scorer anyway.
Nah.
All these guys have huge question marks. Goddard could finish 8 points clear of the next defender on average alone.
Easily.
Before we even start talking games played.
Mm.
So that's some hot take.
Looks like Matty Crouch has put his hand up and cemented that Dangerfield role. Again, came out and killed it. 26 possessions, 10 contested, 4 marks, 6 tackles, 6 clearances in 67% game time.
Yep,
I think his brother's... see you later, buddy.
Yeah, no one cares.
no one cares. Brad who? It's all about Matty Crouch.
Rory Laird played pretty well. Yeah. Scored pretty well.
86 game time, 86% game time. I think with Jentsch now gone, it's maybe he's just, you know, he's kicking on from last year, just loving it. Another one who I like, Tommy Lynch.
Killed it early. Yeah, okay. He was everywhere early. We know he's a great runner and finds the pill. So, he was really setting him up for that lead.
So he's still playing inside 50. I thought he might have been pushing up the ground a bit more.
No, he was up the ground. He was everywhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like I said, didn't see too much of this game, but very impressive for me.
And old man, my man, Richie Douglas.
Richie Douglas was good again.
Low time on ground. Pav only played 42%. Brady Smith came off because he was... things were coming out of his body from all ends.
Yep.
Lucky Neil, the guy I've been watching, and we'll get to one of our listener questions, Rory Sloane. I got massive question marks for Rory Sloane this year without Danger.
Yeah.
First game. Yeah, I know first game. He got a little bit of it, but wasn't particularly, noticeable for mine.
Okay.
Aside from his hair. It was pretty swirly conditions, so I'm going to give him a part. Like, the game was pretty low standard. It was pretty blustery.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But got any morality you want to talk about?
No, that's about all. They're the most guys. I mean, really the one to take out of it. Sheridan moving into that D4 rankings for me.
Yep.
Locked in. Just the upside's there.
Yep.
And I feel like he's absolutely locked in the best 22. Matty Crouch, yeah. Certainly moving into the lower end of the top 50 or thereabouts.
Could
anyway.
Did you see someone just taking him earlier? Like,
no, I can't
see that.
No way.
No?
Because you start talking about taking him over guys like
Murphy and Gibbs.
Yeah,
and that's
right. I just can't see that happening. Just the name value alone.
Yeah, yep. Nah, just double checking there, but I can probably see some people doing it.
Yeah.
If he does it again in the last game.
Maybe.
Looking into round 3 of the NAB Challenge, we've got West Coast and the Gold Coast Suns. Hopefully Jeddah can put in a much improved performance this week.
Well, I'm watching Yo and Jesse Lonergan.
Yep.
But I'm not expecting a great game here. I don't think they'll really field much in the way of teams.
No, I think especially with the Gold Coast Suns travelling back to Perth early in the season, they're going to take a pretty inexperienced side, I think. And maybe Prestia, maybe just give them a half, maybe.
Maybe.
Not expecting too much. But I read Pritis, Kennedy back, so expect them to rack them up and kick big bags of goals.
Yep.
Friday we got the Swans v Giants. You would expect the Giants to field a much stronger side this week. Hopefully with Green and Ward in there and Griffin, so we can actually see what they're doing. Lloyd probably for me from the Swans. I'll keep an eye on, see if he can replicate that form he did in the first week.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see if Mummy plays, and then tip it up against Mummy would be quite fascinating, I would think.
Yeah, I don't care because I hate Mummy and I don't want to touch him. Okay. I'm interested in Kurt Tippett.
Yeah.
If he starts as that no on ruck again, I'll keep an eye. Yeah, Green, Griffin, I'm interested. Stevie J, if he plays, I'm interested in having a look.
Yeah, for sure.
And Zach Williams, he's got a little eye on him as a defender.
Okay.
For GWS, and Callum Mills also.
Yeah, for sure. Into the Saturday games, we've got the Bombers versus the Cats.
I think the Cats are going to take it. Just a terrible team.
I think so. I mean, Essendon are basically full strength. They might give Kelly a run. I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
That's the only one I'd really be interested in. The rest.
Blixars and Caddy for me, if Caddy plays. Yeah. I don't know.
And then we move on to North Melbourne and Collingwood.
Well, North say they're taking this really seriously and they're going to play big teams every week because they want to win.
Okay.
Because they start the season. They've never won a first round match under Brad Scott.
Yeah.
So they wanted to start hot fire.
Okay.
So I guess I'm looking at Wells if he plays.
Zeebel again.
Yeah.
The
Pies Rucks I'm looking at. Apparently Pendleby's playing.
Okay.
I don't expect the Pies to take up too much of a team, but I don't know.
Keep a guy on Corey Galton and DeGoey again, you would say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just those guys who killed in that first game, see if they can back it up.
And again, Aish, I just look for a little bit more if he plays.
Yep.
But again, I don't expect them to take all these guys up.
Sunday, we've got the Bulldogs and Melbourne. I would say the Doggies would still name a stronger side. I'd like to see Liver get a run again this week. Melbourne were pretty strong. Anyway, Hogan was pretty quiet on the weekend.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine.
Salem, I'm looking at still.
Yep. Hopefully Viney's not tagging.
Yeah.
Well, Goodwin's coaching, and Goodwin, they played really well. They moved the ball well, Melbourne, good foot skills.
Look, Paul, look what these guys can do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just counting my money. And then we've got Brisbane and St Kilda is the other game on Sunday, which Bastanac. If he plays, I'd like to keep an eye on him and see what he's doing now that he's moved up there. And Billings again for the Saints for me.
I think the Saints are going to take a really weak team. This game's in Mackay.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone has been to Mackay,
it's the seventh circle of hell.
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn hot. Okay. So I don't expect them to take too many.
So you wouldn't see Rewalt and Montana up there again?
Well, I don't know, maybe, but I wouldn't expect. It's going to be stinking hot, man.
Yeah.
So I'm still looking at Harwood.
Yep.
And a guy who we haven't mentioned at all and I haven't seen bandied around really is Pierce Hanley.
Yeah,
he dropped 17 points last year on average in Supercoach. We know he had a horribly injury and riddled year.
On the glug glug.
No, that's okay. We support
he's
that.
He's Irish.
But, you know, he's a good player, man. So he could go back to that halfback.
Has he got the DPP?
No, he does not.
No, he does. That's probably why no one's talking about him.
Yeah, but he's still a good player. But see, all the articles are about salary cap. I feel like he's a salary cap value.
Yep.
And I think he'll be a draft value as well.
Anyone else from Brisbane? No, that was about it for me. Mailbag. Apparently we've got a few questions this week, Steve.
Yeah, just quickly before we get to the mailbag, I just want to give a plug to one of my mates. He's doing a show in the Comedy Festival. He's a very funny man. Jono, you've seen him.
I've seen him a couple of times. He's very funny.
Yeah, my mate Evan Hocking, he's doing a show called Evan is a Place on Earth. It's on the 5th of April to the 12th of April. There are no Monday shows for that. It's downstairs, lounge at the Grand Mercure Hotel. You can get it on trybooking.com or at the door. Tickets are only $15 to $18. Like, you're going to see a very, very funny comedian. You know, you don't want to spend $40 to see Arj Barker.
You've seen Arj Barker.
You've seen Arj Barker.
You're
going to
see him on TV.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Support the lesser-known local comics.
Yeah, so, just one of my mates, Evan. Very, very funny show. If you're looking for a show at the festival. So, mailbag time.
Mailbag, yeah. A few questions this week.
Yeah, we got some great questions this week. We'll start with one from @KLUPlastic on Twitter. Thoughts on Martin Gleeson could be a good value pickup. Well, he played a good game on the weekend. You know, he's a defender. We know the defender pool's thin.
Yeah.
Played 22 games last year. He's in his third season. You're looking at him in the same... Like, if you want to take him on the bench because you have a good feeling about him, I got no problems with that.
Yeah.
We know third-year players often break out. We know he's got... One thing we look for in our breakout players is opportunity.
Opportunity
he's
and
got,
upside.
He's got opportunity in spades.
Yep.
You're going to be drafting him around guys like Shane Savage, Ryan Harwood, Lee Spur.
Yeah.
So you could argue to me that he has more upside than that. I've got no problems with that. He'll certainly
play.
Well, Lee Spur's going to play as well, but I've got no problems with it if you're using your 22nd pick. Maybe you're in a deeper league. I've got no problems with it.
Yeah, for sure.
If you got a good feeling on it. Another question this is a really great question from a man on Twitter @JohanOak. If you could know any player's average before the season, who would it be? He says probably Elliot Yeo for him, which is, I think, is a...
All of them. I just want all of them.
No greed at all.
No, just give me all. Probably two I'm looking at would definitely be Barlow and Montaigne, because we know Ross the Boss can just easily push him aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love... And Montaigne, does he maintain that massive average, or is this the year he drops off the cliff?
Yeah, I went probably the forward equivalent of Elliot Yeo in Toby Green.
Yeah.
Both of these guys, Elliot Yeo, as our listener mentioned, they're so role dependent. If Toby Green's in the guts, it's 100. If he's forward, it's like 80, whatever. And also, like we mentioned, Rory Sloane. I got no idea.
Yeah. I've got him as fringe players, as we've spoken about before, like Dangerfield moving, those guns who have moved clubs, and those fringe players there, they're the ones you really want to know about.
Yeah, the role-dependent guys.
Bont. I'd love to know Bont.
Yeah,
because he could go keep that 100 average, or he can spurt out a 75.
He'll be all right. Yeah. He'll be all right.
Man, he's coming in on the Brownlow. Everyone's betting on him to win the Brownlow this year.
I love it. You're throwing shade on a Bulldogs player. This is like the polar opposite. It's Mercury in retrograde. Okay, so the next question from our man Shacky Chan, one of our favourite listeners. Which underrated mids to target for trades in draft format? Levi Greenwood, Liam Picken types. He's not interested in blokes who have had three pre-seasons or less. Right. So I guess it sounds like he's already done his draft.
Yep.
And he's starting to look for guys to trade to who aren't going to cost too much in trade value.
Okay.
I wrote a few names down, and you're going to see a common theme with them.
Yeah.
They're all old. Okay. Richard Douglas, Scott Thompson, Nathan Jones is criminally underrated this year. Pierce Hanley for Supercoach, Ryan Griffin,
and for
Dream Team, Andrew Swallow. All these guys are going super late in
drafts
right now. Like super, super late. Especially Nathan Jones. I saw in a Dream Team draft, Nathan Jones go after Pierce Hanley.
What?
Yeah, I know. And I'm just like, come on.
Wait. Shut the front door.
I really feel like these guys, these are the sort of, like Richard Douglas, who cares? No one goes out to target him, but he's going to give you 100. He's going to play 20 games.
And Swallow, he'll give you that 85.
Swallow had 7.5 tackles a game last year. Yeah. If you're playing in Ultimate League,
he was top 3.
That's 30 points a game before he starts collecting possessions.
Yeah. And he's going to have, he did have his quiet games, but he also had some monster games too.
Yeah. So look, the guys who people don't like, they're generally old. They're not sexy names.
Nope.
They're not coming in hot fire with all these Herald Sun articles. So they, Ryan Griffin, who cares? But
drop 5 kilo and looking good.
Yeah, he can go for 100 any season. Like you could average it easy.
Yep.
So I feel like there's some low end trade values if that's what you're targeting, and I mean there's low end draft values as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And our last question is from listener Dylan Hughes asks. Tactics for drafting at pick one. He's got pick one in his bonsai draft. 10 teams, 5-7-1-5 format with captains. Obviously, bonsai, you play with captains.
Yep.
Not looking forward to that long wait between picks. And no one looks forward to that long wait between picks.
Are you sure this is not from the guy who got pick one in our league?
Well, I hope not.
Who's it from?
Dylan Hughes.
Oh, Dylan Hughes.
This is a really interesting question, I think. The fact that you're playing with captains means I don't want to get cute. I want to get
big averages.
You got pick one, so you're looking at 5, Ablett, Goldstein.
That's it for me.
They're probably your top 3.
Maybe Danger, but...
And Pendlebury if you want to be safe. They're probably your top 5, no questions asked.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're... You could be playing Ultimate, so... Or, Dream Team or whatever, so... Yeah. For me, if I'm playing the Dream Team...
Then you're looking at Rocky, format, Steph Martin.
I'm choosing Steph Martin.
Yep.
No questions. Basically, this is what's going to happen is you want to choose the guy with the biggest, safest average.
Yes.
The fact that you're playing with captains says to me, you want the best average.
Yeah.
You have to get that highest average. So really, whether you think it's Ablett, Fife, or Goldie who's the safest, or Steph Martin.
Yep.
For me, it's Steph Martin in Dream Team Ultimate formats. Goldie
Supercoach.
In Supercoach, but I'd probably still take Fife in Supercoach because I feel like there's so many more good ruckmen in Supercoach.
Yeah, and also with the tactics, pay attention to what everyone else is drafting.
So if you go ruck, if you take your ruck at pick one, then you're probably going to be forced to take either a forward or a mid. I'd have to take a mid because you're going to be running out of good ones.
You need a backup in case that your ruck does go down.
Yeah. So, but if you take one of those gun mids, I'm really avoiding mids from that point on for the next couple of rounds. So, if you go Fife or Ablett or Rocky number one, on that second pick of yours, which is pick 20, you're going to have to start choosing positional variants. And I wouldn't worry too much about picking up another midfielder for another 2 rounds because you've got your locked-in captain every week. It's not a question of... Who you're going to pick is a question. We know the defenders pool is extremely thin. You could come back and Heath Shaw might be there.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, we're playing different formats. Maybe, Barlow might be there. Someone could be there.
Yeah, and if you do want to leave us a question, head over to Twitter at the Draft Doctors, hit the follow, leave us a question, we'll get back to you, or go to Facebook, to facebook.com/thedraftdoctors, hit the like page, leave your questions there, even send us a private message if you don't want it up on the board, we're happy to respond to it, or send us an email, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. That wraps it up for this week, we'll see you next week.